Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
I have two pals on the line. I have Elaine Murphy and Laura Sutton, and they have a remarkable story you guys just need to hear. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
How are you? Are you well?
We're great.
Good.
We're good.
Good. Elaine, can I go to you first and ask you, how did you meet Laura?
I met Laura through work, actually. So she came to work for us in the Winding Stair Group, which is a group of restaurants which I was the founder of with my business partner, Brian. And she came to work for us being a whiz in accounts. And that's how I met her. That was back in 2010, was it, Laura?
It was 2010, yeah.
2010. And around this time, Elaine, you'd been trying for a long time to have a baby. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been having quite a lot of difficulties for many, many years. I suppose my first, my initial pregnancy was back in 1999, 2000. Mm-hmm. And it was an unexpected pregnancy, but it turned out to be an ectopic pregnancy, which I don't know if any of you know, it's a tube of pregnancy. So the pregnancy is in the fallopian tubes, so it can survive. And I had quite a lot of illness around that time with it. It was quite a complicated pregnancy. It can never really survive in there, so it had to be removed. And at the time, the thinking would have been to preserve that tube. So I went on subsequently to have two more ectopic pregnancies, which was really heartbreaking because you can go quite far. You can get to 8 or 9 weeks and have a very strong positive test. So that was really, really upsetting. And however, they expected that I would be a really great candidate for IVF because, so we had started on that journey, you know, pretty much straight away around 2002-03. And by 2010, we were well into that journey. We'd also completed an adoption journey and had been unsuccessful, not because we were deemed inappropriate candidates, but because the Irish government had closed down quite a lot of countries. And so we'd ended up being approved for Vietnamese adoption, and then they closed their relationship with Vietnam, and the same with Florida in the US. So it had been quite a journey by the time I met Laura in 2010.
A long and devastating journey, it sounds like. That's a long road. As a friend, Laura, this must have been, you know, pretty difficult to watch.
It was. It really was. And but, you know, Elaine was just a constant fighter. You know, they just kept on putting everything into it. And I just looked at her and, you know, she was just, there was always like there was a piece of Elaine always missing. And I always knew that part, she just wanted to have a baby. She wanted to be a mammy. She wanted her mother to be, and her father to be grandparents. She wanted, like, that's what they wanted. And you knew she was going to be a great mammy. And that's why, like, I was like, maybe I could do this.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. That's why you're here. Laura, let's talk about that moment. First of all, how you came to that decision. How did you discuss it with your family? But tell us about that extraordinary offer.
Elaine and I actually, on one of our pregnancies, we were pregnant at the same time on my second child. And after I had, and obviously, unfortunately, that didn't go to Elaine's plan. But I then, after I had had Amber, I spoke to my husband and I just said to him, I said, would you ever be into doing surrogacy? And he looked at me, he was like, what do you mean? And I said, like, I could have a baby for Elaine. I said, like, why wouldn't I? I said, like, and he was like, he just kind of looked at me and he kind of was like, if you want to do that, Laura, you do that. He said, but I'd rather we'd be finished our family first. So, because we knew we wanted to have another baby. Mm-hmm. And then I said it to Elaine and she was like, wow, like, really? And another pal of hers had actually had said that she would do it, but different things in life kind of got in the way. But Anthony and I had our third child, again, extremely lucky to get pregnant so quickly. And we had Sophie, and then I said to Elaine, I said, are you ready to go ahead? Do you want to do this? I knew she needed to be a mammy. I knew it was what she wanted and I was happy to do it. So why wouldn't I, you know?
Oh, it's an incredible offer. It's
incredible.
Elaine, how did you react when she first came to you with this news?
At first I was saying to her, you know, this is unbelievable, what an offer, but there's just no way. I mean, like, it's too much.
And, you know, like, we'd only known each other, I think at the time, maybe 5 years, was it, Laura? Maybe 5 years?
Yeah, probably would be 5 or 6, yeah, because, yeah, it would have been.
Yeah,
like that,
and,
that,
you know,
that,
and I thought, well, I mean, this is just incredible. I can't imagine somebody who was a fairly recent friend, you know, of 5 years. I was just overwhelmed. I mean, I thought it was incredible, but I was overwhelmed, and I kept putting it aside. I mean, initially I said, wow, but no. But
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you said, yeah, you were like, amazing, but no. So what changed your mind?
Laura persisted and persisted. And she's, and you know, she would bring it up. You know, we carried on with our IVF journey, you know, to a ridiculous extent, probably in retrospect. But, you know, it's one of those things that you just keep, you keep hoping for the best. And because I'd got pregnant a couple of times with IVF, I just thought, we thought, well, you know, it could go further. And so in the background, there was that, there was the adoption, and there was Laura always saying, I'm still here, you know, I'm still here. And we, you know, Anthony and I have discussed it, and it's, the offer is still there. But I kept putting it back, and,
yeah,
and just assuming that it was too much. And then what changed was, I was looking after a group of people in one of the restaurants, and it turned out that they were a small surrogacy conference headed by a solicitor who specializes in surrogacy. And I overheard their conversation, and at the end of it, I said to the solicitor, is this about surrogacy in Ireland? She said, yeah. Now, in actual fact, it was really about commercial surrogacy overseas, the likes of which Roseanne Davidson, et cetera, would have
That's
done.
Right.
But it really, I said it to Laura. I said, Laura, were you actually there that evening, or was it the next day?
I was still in work, yeah. No, I think I was.
Yeah, yeah. So I paused. She was actually right there. So I went up and I said, this is unbelievable. And Laura said, well, there you go. This is it. That's the sign you needed. And that's the impetus we need. Let's do this. So I arranged, I called the, so the solicitor had given me her number. I called her, arranged a meeting, and asked, because I really wasn't, it's very, very unclear. It's a big grey area, which we'll probably talk about later. So I wasn't sure if it was even possible to do it legally, because as many people assume, I had assumed that surrogacy in Ireland is illegal. In actual fact, commercial surrogacy is not legislated for, and altruistic surrogacy is not legislated for, but it's not illegal. So there just isn't legislation to cover it. So Tracy, the solicitor, was able to explain all of that and how we could possibly go about it. And then I went back to Laura, still with the assumption that, you know, this probably wouldn't go further. But Laura was extremely persistent with her offer and extremely firm. Persistent is the wrong word. Firm. And generous.
So, Laura, what happened then? So you decided this, we're going to do this. You've gotten a little bit more information. Where did you go?
Well, we literally, as Elaine said, we got the ball rolling. We covered all of our everything that we needed to. Like, obviously, there's a lot more, like, legal and stuff behind it we have to protect. We both had to protect our families and all that. And I had to protect my husband and my three kids. And, you know, we had to make sure we were both on the same page. And, you know, we covered all that stuff behind. But I think the main thing behind it was we had the love, we had the dream, we had the passion. And that's why we went and kept going. And that's what we kept pushing. Like,
and the trust. We had the trust of each other.
Let's just do this. And you know what? I was just like, we had our eye on the prize. We wanted to get a little baby in this world, Elaine. I wanted to be a mammy. She wanted to have a baby, and I was going to help her do that. And we did all the things we had to do in the background, and we went and we had that little egg implanted. It didn't work, unfortunately, the first time, which was a little bit heartbreaking. And then we said, no, come on, let's go do it again. And here we are. I watched her come into the world, and I watched Elaine and her husband, like, become different people, the people that they were meant to be. Like, they were made, like, Elaine is just who she's, like, meant to be. She's a fabulous person, but, like, she was missing something. She was missing a part. And as soon as I came into this world, like, it's just amazing to be around them. Like, there's so much love for that baby. And I just gave up a year of my life with the support of my amazing family and friends.
Amazing family and friends.
Just a life.
Baby Iris was born. Elaine, tell me about
that
moment you held your baby.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, the lead up to it
was incredible. And I mean, the person who has to be absolutely included in this story is Anthony. I mean, Anthony, Mark, Sophie and Amber, Laura's immediate family and her extended family. But Anthony was front and center of this story as well. You know, he was there for every moment of the pregnancy. Laura had a difficult enough pregnancy, and she had a, and she had in the middle of it, she broke her foot. And so she was, I know, can you believe that?
No.
So, like, it was just really, really tough for her. And Anthony went through that with her every moment. He's an incredible man. So he was there. Laura wanted him to be there for the whole labour, obviously. And as it turned out, the returning were incredibly supportive, and they allowed all four of us to be there for the whole labour. From she was induced in the end. So from the whole labour, Anthony sat in beside Laura. Laura laboured pretty much with no drugs right till the end. I mean, incredible. And I mean, I've never obviously been at a labour before, but to watch someone labouring is an incredible experience. To watch someone labouring for you is an overwhelming experience.
Can I mean, ask you, Elaine, when you're in the labour ward, was there ever a moment you thought, oh God, what if she wants to keep the bit? Oh God, what?
No.
If?
And you know, it's funny, Jen, because that's the question that we got asked the most throughout the pregnancy, both Laura and I separately. Mm. And it's something that an outsider often says. And, you know, my family said it, Laura's family might have said it, all our friends at some point have said something similar, where they say, what if she changes her mind? But I mean, I won't speak for Laura. She can speak for herself about this. But I knew there was never a question that was going to happen. Never a question.
She was
in my
so,
mind.
She was so 100% sure she wanted to do this for you. Laura, can you tell me about carrying this precious cargo? What is that like? How does it feel? Did it feel different to your other pregnancies? How was that 9 months?
It was a different, and I suppose it's like you say, their precious cargo is really what it is. Like, I was geared up from the beginning. I knew I was minding her, I was growing her, and I knew once it came to the point that, like, she was never my baby. Like, it was never in my head. And like as Elaine said as well, like people did ask it a lot. And I didn't, like, I was finished, my family, we had our kids, this was something that I was doing for them, and people were like, what if when you see the baby and you want to hold her? And I said, no, I said, for me to see Elaine and Brian with their baby in their arms, I said, that's why I'm doing this, I said, and that's why even when we were going into labor, I was like, I was adamant that they needed to be there when she came in to the world, because I said, it's not about me holding her, I said, when that baby comes in, that I need Elaine to have that moment. I want them to have the skin on skin, and for me to witness that and know that I've helped them with that, like, that's amazing for me. Like, that was just, like, it's a fabulous feeling, and I'm very, very lucky that I was able to do that.
Incredible. How did you explain it to your kids and your family?
Oh, Elaine bought us the most cutest little book. My eldest is actually, he just turned 18 there a few weeks ago, so he understood. But the girls, they are now 7 and 4, and they we had a little book, and it was like about a kangaroo pouch, and it was about how the mammy will mind the baby in her pouch, because we told her that Elaine's tummy couldn't work. So my 4-year-old would say Elaine's tummy was broken, so the doctor's putting the baby into my belly to mind it to grow. And when the baby comes out, it's not our baby. And they understood that.
Yeah.
And they talk about that normally now, and it's amazing for them to have been on that journey too. And they see it all as so normal, which... Yeah, it's amazing.
Incredible. Elaine, how is baby Iris? Tell me.
She's amazing. So she's going to be 1 next week. She just started standing up and walking with a little walker, and she's the cutest, obviously the cutest baby in the history of the world.
Of course she is.
I mean, when people say the most wanted baby, I mean, like 20 years of longing. And she's the first grandchild as well.
Oh.
My brothers don't have kids, so she's literally the star of the show. Would I be able to go back to the moment she was born? Because
yeah, please do.
Really quickly, it was incredible. Because so, as I said, Anthony and Laura were there in their huddle. Laura was labouring, and she came out Brian and I had to step outside the room a few times just with the absolute emotion of seeing somebody labouring for you. But when she came out sort of slowly, sideways, so she almost waved at us, and the consultant said, would you like to come over and hold her hands? So Brian and I held her hands. I was standing beside Anthony, and Laura could watch us holding her hands. And as she was born, then we cut the cord, and all four of us were just in this huddle with the baby. It was the most magical thing you could imagine.
Magical.
Yeah.
And Elaine, at long last, after you said it there, after 20 years, you're a mother. How does it feel?
Amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. Obviously, I'm an older mom now, and, you know, perhaps there are people who think too old of a mom. I'm going to be 52 this year. But, you know, the thing about being an older mom is you're definitely ready emotionally.
Yeah.
You're not missing out on anything. You know, there was a time in your 30s where you would have been desperate to get out and be with friends and, you know, go out dancing, etc. And, you know, as an older mom, you're ready. You're ready.
You were destined to be a mother. And as Laura said, she saw that in you. And I'm so happy you've got your dream baby. Can we talk about the laws around surrogacy really quickly? You touched on it there. But just with rights, paternal rights and stuff like that, what are the laws?
They're very, very grey. So, I mean, they're not grey. They're just not, they're not protective. So, as you know, if a father would have to, a regular father in a regular situation would have to go for guardianship if they're not married to the mother. So in our case, obviously, the father is not married to the mother. Laura is the mother in Irish law. So the birth mother in Irish law is always the mother on the mm-hmm. birth cert. And that's really something that should change at this point, because there are so many complex stories and you really don't need to be the birth. You really don't need to have given birth to be a mother. So as it stands, there's a really antiquated scenario where if you give birth and you're married, you're not married to the father, but you are married to someone else, the person you're married to, so in Laura's case, Laura's husband, has to give written affidavit that he is not the father and that he allows Laura to name someone else as the father. So that's really an old... outrageous.
It is outrageous. We've talked about it briefly on the show. I think it's something that we will definitely come back to. And it needs to change, not just for you guys, but to protect the child. That's why these laws need to change. Laura, if anyone listening is considering this road, what advice would you say or would you give them?
I would tell people that if you are willing and if you think you have the headset and you have the support behind you, because the support is so much, put yourself out there and do it. There are so many women that unfortunately cannot have babies. They could be friends. They could be families. You know, it was a year of my life, like 1 year out of my whole life. And you know what? Thankfully, touch wood, everything went well in our story, but like, if you can do it, if you have a healthy body, if you're able to carry a baby and you think you can do it, but also when you have the strong mind that you know it's not your baby, you're just like you're saying, mind and your precious cargo, and you have the support of your family behind you, because I couldn't have done it without the support of my family.
Need the support.
But I knew I had the headset, my own headset to do it too. But like, that's what we want. That's why even with this, to come on the show, like, it can be done, and it is a difficult journey and you need to have the support behind you, but it is doable. And if you think you can do it, then offer it, say it to your pal and do it. It can be done.
It's life changing. It's life changing. Elaine, and to you, what advice as a mom? What would you say, Elaine?
Oh, apologies. Sorry.
That's okay.
I would say, you know, surrogacy is not something that you can ask someone to do for you. Altruistic surrogacy. So the really important thing for the person who is offering you, and people over the years will offer, will make that offer without it being a real offer. You know, you'll hear people saying it. I would definitely do that. But one of the really important things for the person offering is that they have to be finished their own family, because I think that would really create some difficulties. As the other person, it's never something you can seek unless it's a commercial surrogacy abroad, you just can't ask someone to do that for you. I think it has to be a decision that you come to yourself.
Yeah, good advice. As a
surrogate, yeah. And, you know, the finishing of your own family first, or the being at peace with not having your own kids, really is something that's really important.
That's great advice, because we have talked briefly about surrogates before, and I've never heard that advice, and that is really important thing to say. Now, lady, shortly after beautiful baby Iris was born, you guys were separated by the first lockdown, and since then it's been a real challenge to hang out properly, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, when things get back to normal, hopefully sooner rather than later, we want to give you a chance to catch up, reflect on the amazingness of what you guys have done. So the Neville Hotel Group have been in touch, and they want to offer you an overnight stay with dinner at the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary. Now, the hotel is a fab 228 luxury bedroom, gorgeous views across the bay, so many attractions, absolutely gorgeous. So as soon as restrictions lift, you are free to go. Laura Sutton and Elaine Murphy, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
But I think you've...
Woohoo, Elaine!
Yeah! I'll see you there. You've given a lot of women hope. Somebody just texted me saying, two amazing ladies, I just had a baby, number four, and listening to them really makes me realise how lucky and blessed I am to be able to have a baby. And I think your story is one that will hopefully go on and on and on, and people will see it as a real viable option here in Ireland, because it's so important. And now we have baby Iris in the world.
Yeah.
Incredible. So listen, enjoy that hotel stay when you get round to do it, and thank you so much for joining us on the show, okay?
Thank you.
Bye,
thanks,
ladies. Bye.
Bye,
Laura.
Bye,
guys. Bye. Now, if you have any experience of surrogacy, or think it's something you would or could do, get in touch. Let me know. 51552. You can also email the show, jen@rte.ie. We'll be back right after the...
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.